Welcome, everyone, to V Book Club Podcast. I'm so excited to be here today with Jessica Anderson, who is the owner of That Girl Media and also film documentary director, so many different things, a creative, a mom, a wife, LA native. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Jordan.
And we're so excited about the recent finishing of your documentary, The Flight of Jackie Cochran. So can you tell us a little bit about that new project that you have going on?
Yeah, you say new and I laugh instinctually because it was a three-year process.
Right.
It's been a part of my life for so long. You know, Dave King, who is a dear friend and my executive producer on the project, came to me with the story of Jackie, and he knew Nancy Hasty, who actually created a play about Jackie Cochran's life. Mm-hmm. And I actually hadn't seen the play. I only got the script. And, you know, this is fitting for a book club, but
right.
When I read the script, you started to hear the character.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I feel like we do that a lot when we read.
That's yeah.
The beauty of reading.
And it is also based on a book that was written by Jackie's daughter?
Beth Dees okay. wrote a book. She's connected to the family.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackie's an onion, and we'll try to peel back as many mm-hmm. layers as we can here tonight.
Yeah. Let's for the people that don't know who she is, which is crazy how many people don't know, because she is like pretty big deal. Give us a little background on who Jackie Cochran is.
Gosh, she was a pilot. Ultimately, she was a racer. She liked to go fast. She broke the sound barrier. She was the first woman to break the sound barrier, both Mach 1 and Mach 2. She broke so many records. She won prestigious awards for her flying. I mean, we're talking about truly the golden age of flying. And she really put herself out there and put herself into rooms and places. And we're talking 1930s, mm-hmm. 1940s, mm-hmm. right? So for a woman to be in those places is really outstanding. She was friends with presidents. She was very influential. She started the Women's Air Force. I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher that. It's the WASP.
Uh-huh.
And she started the WASP, and the WASP were ferrying pilots for the men in World War II, and that was her idea. And she brought that to Hap Arnold, the general at the time. And you know, you think about all the things that she did and what she accomplished throughout her life, and yet we don't know who she is.
Mm-hmm.
And so the documentary is going to uncover those paths, uncover all the things that she did. But truly, what's interesting about Jackie is who she was psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where the documentary goes down that rabbit hole,
right?
Truly.
Right. And I guess, so did you learn of this, you know, incredible woman because she was a local to this area?
Yeah, it's what truly drew me in at first. Before I worked on this project, I was working for the 30A company with Mike Ragsdale, and we were creating short documentary films about the historical aspect of all the beach towns in this area, mm-hmm. new urbanism, which are huge passions of his, and it was great to bring that to light. So I've always been interested in the local history.
Mm-hmm.
I would go as so far to say I am an honorary historian of the
uh-huh.
area. I could literally
Definitely
do now. My own podcast on the history of this place. But when I was brought Jackie's story, it was local. And truly, when I started to dive into her life, I was like, cool, I'm going to tell the story about this great woman. And she did all these great things. But then you started to kind of unpack her life. And you're like, wait, hang on. She had a different identity.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of ran away from her home. She hid a lot of her secrets, so to speak, from her family. She reinvented herself.
Mm-hmm.
She accomplished so much, but yet probably had a lot of pain deep down. And that became kind of more interesting in ways than even her accomplishments.
Right. So I was privileged enough to see a private preview screening and attend the wrap party for your crew. And I mean, that documentary is so good. I was so excited just to see like what all you have accomplished, because I know you've been working on it so hard, like you said, for the last 3 years. And while being pregnant and then giving birth to your son. And so it's just like really cool to see it all come to fruition for you. And I can't wait to see where it's going to go from here. But tell me a little bit about like the process of making it, because you have a lot of different parts. Yeah. It's not just the historical. You also have Nancy Hasty on stage performing, and that kind of like helps tell the story from Jackie's lens. Mm-hmm. And then also modern day like footage kind of the area. So how did you decide to put all that together?
You know, when I go out and I make documentaries, I kind of channel this sense of like PBS. Uh-huh. You know, I want the audience, I want the person watching to walk away and learn something. But I also want to do it in a creative way where some documentaries can go on and on and on, and you learn and it's great. But how do you make something interesting? How do I keep that audience engaged in a person that they've probably never heard of? It's not like going and seeing a documentary about George Washington. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure we've all written historical things about him or other famous people. But it's like, how do you make a documentary about someone that nobody knows about?
Right.
And so how do I capture that? And I think I try to do it in the first like few seconds of the film, honestly. Uh-huh. Yeah. Just to create that intrigue of that you've never heard of this woman before, but we're going to tell you about her. And I worked with Mark Little. He's my DP for the film. And him and I really kind of sat down and were deciding, how do we cinematically talk about this? I knew from the start I wanted to incorporate Nancy's play. Mm-hmm. And a lot of documentaries will have reenactments. So they'll bring in actors and the actor will be the person and they'll do this whole scene. And it's great. Uh-huh. I love that. But with the play and the eeriness of it, it's like I wanted Jackie to be able to kind of come through Nancy, because she plays her so in such an interesting way that I wanted Jackie to kind of have some say in her own story.
Right.
And that's why I use the play. I mean, the play itself is like 2 hours. It's great. Please go check it out whenever Nancy's playing it in town. But how do I pull those good pieces out of it? And so that's what we did. We actually filmed here in the Rep. Mm-hmm. Aloha Bora Media, the girls helped us film that along with Mark Little. And we actually sat in here and we filmed it over 2 days. So I filmed without an audience, and then we filled the room with people and we filmed it with an audience. So in a cinematic way throughout the film, she's acting to an audience, and sometimes she's acting not to an audience. Mm-hmm. And I wanted that kind of mystique of, are there people there?
Right.
Are there not people? I don't know. Yeah. Am I watching? Am I the observer? You know. So I wanted that kind of appeal in that way. And then we decided to – I had this epiphany of making it all black and white. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to create a little bit of separation from her story and the reality of the documentary, and then going to the kind of this fairy tale place of an ethereal piece of her, and just on that black stage. Uh-huh.
I do feel like that comes through, like as the viewer, and you see Nancy and the camera's like going around her, and you're kind of like, oh, okay. Like Jackie is, she's right there. Like she's telling her story, and you feel it, and it's so emotional. And then you also have like some historical photos and footage, and you have interviews with people from the Smithsonian. So it's a lot of different parts, but it all comes together so well.
When I first started out doing this, having the Smithsonian into the film was like my, oh my gosh, if I could do anything, it would be to have the go to the Smithsonian and to film it there and to interview somebody about her, because I think it just gives the story itself strength in the fact that the government is okay with talking about her. I mean, she's in the Air and Space Museum. And it was really interesting because I had to only use my deal with the Smithsonian is that I can only use like 12% of our interview.
Okay.
Which is kind of crazy because I would say a lot of that was left on the cutting room floor was my interview with her. And
you get to pick the 12%?
Yeah, I get to pick the 12%, but I had to be 12%.
Okay.
And it was interesting because what was left on the floor were stories of, you know, why isn't there a woman's section of the Smithsonian Museum, right? Because you have Amelia Earhart. I mean, there's the first thing you see when you walk into the Smithsonian is the Wright brothers.
Right.
And it's this whole wing of the Wright brothers.
Right.
And I was like, what's the deal there? And she actually told me that when she had been working there, I mean, it sounded like for probably 30, 40 years at the Smithsonian. She said when she first started and she was collaborating with the curator, they decided that they didn't want to just specifically highlight women. They wanted women to just be in the museum throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And because they wanted women to be in the same exhibit as the Wright brothers or as these other men that are in aviation, right? And so that's why. And I found that kind of interesting because I'm like, that's
you're like, okay, that sounds great in theory, but then it's so easy to just sort of overlook it, I guess.
Yeah. And there's other aspects of aviation. Mm-hmm. You know, Jackie, while she wasn't a feminist, she paved the way for women in aviation, I think, greater than she even knew. And in the documentary, I only got one video. I could only find one of her actually speaking on camera.
Right.
And the piece that I put in there was her saying the biggest part of aviation is women's interest and the military accepting women as being more than just the nurses. Again, we're looking at 1930s, 40s. I mean, women just got the right to vote in the 20s, you know, 1919, you know, was when women got the right to vote. And so we're talking about 10, 15 years later, we're talking about women flying planes.
I love it. And I love that. I honestly love that she, you know, you say she wasn't a feminist. Like, she brought all that to the table, but also she was flying around to, like, sell makeup before she started sort of in the military. So that was her job. Like, she was like the Mary Kay of the time, but she was flying her plane to go to these places to sell makeup to people.
I know. So her line is called Wings of Beauty. And it's so crazy because I went online trying to look for artifacts of it, and it's really hard to find. I mean, it's very – it was really only in production for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. But, that's how she learned to fly. And when she learned to fly, I think, especially all the stuff that went on in her life through her childhood, I think, and I've talked to Nancy about this, but flying really was that like quiet and that peace.
Mm-hmm.
And if you talk to anybody that actually flies planes, they'll kind of give you a similar description as to what it's like to fly. I will never fly a plane. I don't think I'll ever go there. But
my grandfather was a pilot and he had his own little plane, and he would say stuff like that. So I truly believe that is how they feel, like a pilot. They're like, I'm in control of this, but also it's just so peaceful and quiet up here.
Yeah.
So
and that's how
it was her way of like getting away from everything that was plaguing her while she was on the ground.
Mm-hmm. And I think and especially going fast too, because that's a really interesting component to her life. It's like, not only did she fly, but she wanted to fly fast and she wanted to go
she
crazy
felt the
speeds.
Need.
Yeah, she felt the need for speed. But she flew well into her 60s, and which is so amazing. And that's actually why she passed away, is it was heart failure. And when you go Mach 1 and you go those speeds so much, it does a number on your body and your heart. So that's why she...
I'm sure, especially at the time, like before, there was more protective measures to take. But I want to take it back a little bit to you and just your upbringing. And, you know, you're from L.A. You moved to this area how long ago?
2012, 2013 era.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a little over 10 years, 12 years. How did you get into filmmaking in the first place?
Yeah, I think I've told you this before.
You told me you haven't.
Right. The world. I'm from LA. I went to school at Cal Lutheran, which is just north of LA, for university. And I don't know, when you grow up in LA, it's people just really want a lot from you. It's like all about who you know, which is great. But there was a certain aspect that I wanted to slow life down a little bit, maybe in my own way, get away, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. try something new. Yeah. And I moved to the beach. And I met some really great people. And I think the salt of the earth are people from this area. Mm-hmm. And I think we can all agree when we're here along the coast, it's just a different vibe. And I didn't know I wanted to be in filmmaking. I actually got my degree in teaching. So
yeah. What were you going to teach?
I have elementary school.
Okay.
Yeah. I loved elementary school because it's so creative. Yeah. It's probably the most creative aspect of teaching because mm-hmm. you get to make up stuff for kids to do. And I thought I was going to do that. I didn't end up doing that. And in another world, I got in the restaurant world and marketing and started my business and started making films. And then I was like, I love filmmaking. Yeah. It's really cool. My husband always says, you make something out of nothing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true for all creatives. Like, we just make something out of nothing. It's
true.
Just floating around the brain, and you're like, you know what? What would be cool?
Uh-huh. And that's all it takes, right? Is like saying that to someone who's like, that would be cool. Let's do it. Yeah. And so you had amassed this little crew that decided to help you tell this story.
I know it.
Was this the first like sort of full-length documentary that you've done?
This is the first full-length, the first of many to come. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's my first full length, and I'm really just proud of what we created. It's funny because I was telling Dave one day, I was like, I know how this is going to start. I want a TV. I want it to zoom in. It's going to be here. And mm-hmm. like the whole process, he was like, okay, let's do that. Let's do that scene and let's make it happen. And so Mark and I were in the studio. And we literally – Mark was carrying that camera so slow towards that screen.
Right.
And it was funny because once we got that and I knew it was the take, I was just like,
that's it.
This is the vision I had. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as a creative, it's crazy when you dream or you think about something and then it becomes that reality. And that reality becomes very real. And now I have to talk about it. It's such a weird.
Yeah. How did it feel when you were going through the process? Like, did your thoughts about it change once you got further in?
Yeah. When we first started the project, we were like, let's film the play. And then it was like, well, let's tell Jackie's story. Let's make it a documentary. Mm-hmm. Okay. But now we want to incorporate this play. I couldn't go and say, Scorsese did a something like that. Let's do it that way. Yeah. I haven't ever really seen a play mm-hmm. incorporated into a documentary before. So a little bit of just adventure there, you know, taking a risk. Are people going to like it? Uh-huh. I don't know if it's going to fit. I hope Nancy's had a good day and got a lot of sleep that day because we're counting on a take here. But it developed and it changed over time. And I think kind of – as I said before, this onion of her life, and I was peeling all these layers back. And initially, I didn't even think I was going to go down the route of mental health and abuse and kind of look at her life through a psychological lens. But the more that I got deeper into it, the more that I started to realize, okay, there's something there. How could a woman change her name, change her identity, deny the press that she had family and where she came from, but still be successful? It's what an enigma there.
And why?
I mean, I probably will never know. And the family has been gracious. She still has some living relatives. They were actually there at the screening. And I think the family, as far as I know, it's the one of the sisters wanted this story to come to light. And I looked through all of their box of memories and things like that, evidence, so to mm-hmm. speak. And I went through it and I found this script, and the family wanted her story to be out there, but it never really came to light.
Okay.
There's been a few attempts. I think there was one in particular that I read about in an article. This was back in early 2000s, maybe in the 90s. They wanted to do a film, like a feature mm-hmm. film, where they brought in an actress to play mm-hmm. Jackie. But that fell through. That was like a studio thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I'm going through all this, it's like the family did want them to know about Jackie. I don't know if they would want me to, like, my perspective put on it, but that's okay. I mean, that's the beauty of filmmaking, is I can take a story, I can interpret it, and then I get to tell you what I think about it. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of my director's cut, so to speak,
right,
of her life.
Yeah. I mean, it's art. It's telling history, but it is an artistic, you know, medium. Mm-hmm. And I just want to know, too, like, filming or doing the private screening in Dufuniac Springs, which is her hometown. Mm-hmm. How did that feel? Just sort of like bringing that to life, letting people see it for the first time right there.
Nerve-wracking.
Downtown.
Luckily, the theater itself has been there since early 1900s. Mm-hmm. From all my evidence, it could have even been a theater that Jackie herself went to, mm-hmm. which is kind of surreal going into that place. You're like, oh,
yeah, like she could have been in
there. People have been in here before. You know, this is an old theater. And she, I think she would have been okay with it.
I think so.
And that huge screen that came down, I feel like when you mm-hmm. walked into the theater, you mm-hmm. weren't expecting that, you know, because I usually do my SOFO cinemas with my nonprofit SOA Foundation. Right. And you see my little projector and uh-huh. the screen I put up. And I'm sure that's what you guys were probably thinking was
going to
be.
No, I was like, well, I've been in there before. Right, but, it was legit. Like you had the popcorn. And,
I know. I was like, I need popcorn.
Everybody was excited and mm-hmm. there was some buzz around it. And then you had the wrap party at Iron and Grape, which mm-hmm. is a new restaurant downtown. So
yeah, the food was great. Yeah. The drinks were strong and the party continued. I think uh-huh. we shut that place down.
Yeah, it had a great turnout. So that was exciting. Yes. And really just cool to be able to connect with the crew, because you did a panel on stage and, you know, just for the private preview of everything. Mm-hmm. And now you are taking it on the road. So tell us a little bit about
I am. That. Yeah. The next phase of this, I feel like filmmaking comes in so many phases. Obviously, there's like the pre-production, there's the filming, there's the editing portion. And then now that I've completed this, we have applied for a regional Emmy. Mm-hmm. So fingers crossed on that. I've already applied to some regional film festivals mm-hmm. To show it. It's really exciting to see this all come to light, because what's an interesting fact about our film is that it's 100% original music. So I actually brought in a composer that wrote all the music.
Okay.
Throughout the film. Mm-hmm. And Barry Best is, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
And I think I might have pitched him soft on it. And thank goodness he said yes, because once he saw the project and saw the film, he's like, I'm going to do this. This, I am on board. And so he has a theme song in there that's uh-huh. kind of Jackie's theme.
Yeah.
And we play it in the beginning when the title sequence comes on. And it's just thoughtfulness like that poured mm-hmm. into the film, mm-hmm. You know, using Mark Little's cinematic perspective on things. You know, I didn't want to just shoot Dufuniac. I wanted it to look cinematic. I took him with me to the Smithsonian.
Right.
I got a permit to film on the National Mall. And mm-hmm. so all that footage is not stock. That's all our footage. I wanted to make sure that we put as much detail into it, so when we look back, we're not just like, we should have done, you know, it would have been good.
And it's all your vision and your crew's vision, and not, you know, you didn't pull stock, you know, footage or music or anything.
Yeah, the only stock that we did was obviously the photos, some mm-hmm. of the photos, the historical photos, but, you know, you need that in a documentary.
Right. Yeah, that doesn't count. I mean, you're not going on, like, online and pulling.
Right.
Aerial shots of Washington, D.C. or whatever.
I know, right? That was all us.
That's so exciting. So what festivals have you applied to?
Regionally, I've applied, some in Orlando, some in Florida, mm-hmm. some in North Carolina. You know, I really want to start regional and then grow it from there. Mm-hmm. Especially with the Emmy, they'll notify us in October. So after we hear from that, it will kind of all open up the floodgates, so to speak, right. as far as kind of, I'm not going straight to LA.
Yeah.
I'm gonna build it up. I'm gonna show it. Uh-huh. I'm gonna screen it a lot of places. You know, I have a spreadsheet of all the places I want to mm-hmm. take it, and so that's just my daily routine of applying as I come through yeah. and see the ones that are opening up, and hopefully we get into more. I'd love to take it to Annapolis. Mm-hmm. I love Annapolis Film Festival. They are right by the Navy base, so I feel the military's yeah. there. It has a connection.
Uh-huh. They need that one.
Yeah, and I love the people that run it, too.
Annapolis Film Festival.
Let's We're do just it.
This to them, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I want to take it really all over, and I think Jackie's story should be told, mm-hmm. and it's just crazy that it's not.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like, she was friends with Amelia Earhart, mm-hmm. and we all know
her. Very good friends.
So it was like, mm-hmm. we what all happened know there? But it was the...
But it's the Marilyn Monroe effect, yeah. and I think I told you this before. It's the Marilyn Monroe. When someone famous passes, it's like Elvis Presley. It's like Marilyn Monroe. It's Amelia Earhart. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many others. Jesse McCartney. Like, yeah. You know. But it's fame kind of stays with those that die mm-hmm. and versus someone that might have lived out their life to the end and just quietly kind of pass away and,
right.
and kind of fall from the media, fall from foresight of media. And it's just mm-hmm. kind of sad mm-hmm. that that's the case for Jackie. But I understand it in a way because Jackie really did keep her life very private. Mm-hmm. Not anymore.
So exciting that we get to learn more about her and know her through this story. What is coming up next for you?
So much.
Other than the, all the film festivals and the screenings and all yeah. of that, which is a lot, but do you have another project?
Yeah, I have an idea of a project okay. For sure. And I'll have to come back and talk to you guys about yeah. that. But I definitely want to continue my work of looking at stories and finding a niche of how do they globally connect with more people. Mm-hmm. So my next one is going to be about – I want to do a documentary about the Romanian children.
Okay, yeah.
Which is – I could have mm-hmm. a whole other mm-hmm. segment for that. But I'd like to dive into my past and really kind of understand – society and what happens to a society when we take away women's rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, just, you
that's,
know,
that's my next one.
Nothing,
yeah, yeah. Just easy topic.
Well, I can't wait to learn more about that. Yeah. And just more, what would you sort of give advice to someone who's wants to tell these types of stories or get into documentary filmmaking in general?
Yeah. Documentary filmmaking is an interesting animal to get into. It's not feature. It's not commercial. You really have to find a project that you would starve to tell because not everybody's going to share mm-hmm. that vision with you. Not everyone's going to understand. I remember when I was initially pitching this, people are like, okay, you're going to use a play and talk about a woman. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was very strange to pitch, but luckily, I do have to say I thank you to everybody who helped bring this project to light. Mm-hmm. Honestly, partnership with Sowell Foundation, St. Joe, and also I would say dozens and dozens of local interest. And their donations helped bring this project to light. So I'm just really thankful yeah. for them. And hopefully they'll be on board with our next things.
Right. It's so such a blessing to live in an area where creatives are supported and celebrated.
Of course. Yeah. That's our goal.
And that's our goal too. So, all right. Well, is there anything else you want to add for our viewers or anything else you want to say?
I just want to thank the crew. Yeah. Megan, mm-hmm. my editor, Mark, Dave, Nancy, Ray, everybody that kind of helped bring this whole project to light. I think we all understood the importance of it. And I just hope that Jackie's story will live on and kind of gain a new momentum.
Mm-hmm.
My ultimate goal with this would to bring so much awareness to Jackie's story that someone like Netflix would pick it up and actually create a cool story about her.
I mean, I think they should just put your documentary on there.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, I've always thought about it. I'm like, what actor would play Jackie?
So who's your top pick?
I mean, I've always said like a Reese Witherspoon type of character, because she's very kind of that Legally Blonde, kind of like I can do this. Yeah, the spunkiness, but also the Southern sweetness in her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always loved that.
Okay. Well,
there you go.
Let's call her up.
Call up Reese.
Sounds great. Well, also, all right, so this is V Book Club Podcast, and on every episode, I like to ask everyone what their favorite book is.
Mm. On the spot, too. Yep. No preparation. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've had a few, but I guess I'll give it a little bit of context. When I left high school, I backpacked in Thailand for a while, and it was kind of my breather between mm-hmm. high school and then the transition into college.
Okay.
And I feel like we all go through that phase.
Yeah.
But I say that because the biggest book that impacted my life was one that I actually bought from a monk in Thailand, and it's about Buddhism, and it's funny because some of the pages are in Thai, but then he translates in other pages. Anyway, it's a great book.
Uh-huh.
And I forget the title, forgive me on that, but it's a book that I have in my library that's highlighted, worn down. If there is anyone in my life, you know, I have a bunch of nephews, and whenever any of them have ever had any questions as to life and what do? Where do I go? Mm-hmm. I will point them in that direction, because I really think there was so much to learn from Buddhism, and just about yourself, and like really looking inwardly. And I think that's mm-hmm. a huge theme throughout my life is mm-hmm. I'm not very like external. I'm very like, how do I control the narrative? I control how I, you know, how the mm-hmm. world views me and, mm-hmm. and all that. So I think that's just really important. And that book kind of dives into all that and Buddhism. And I love that book. Uh-huh. But if I had to really choose that book, obviously it would be Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle is the thing. And awesome. But that, again, I think that's on the theme mm-hmm. of always being present,
mm-hmm.
always being, you know, inwardly looking. Nothing happens, you know, it doesn't happen to you. It's from you, you know, in that message. So
I love that. You'll have to send the title. I know.
I'm going to show you how ratty it is.
Yeah, we can share. We'll share a picture of it. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here today. And I can't wait to see everything that is going to happen in your future, because it's just going to be awesome.
Thanks, Fran. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And we hope to see you next time on V Book Club.